and welcome. About 5 minutes or so, do you think the people who didn't change their clocks might come rolling in? I wonder. Are we going to be cruel? Of course we are. It's the Harefield way, isn't it? Cruel to be kind, or maybe just being cruel anyway. We are continuing our series that we've been looking through, Behind Enemy Lines. Because, you know, very often we, you know, wherever we work, wherever we go, we are perhaps the only one who follows Jesus. And, you know, certainly you can see that the enemy has got a pretty good grip of this country. And over the last few weeks, could you click on the doodah? That's it. Yeah. Oh, hold on. A little technical difficulty. I'll put it back on again. Let's see if that works. Yeah. Right, maybe a couple of lights off. Thank you very much, Gavin. We were looking at several things that we feel. They all begin with D, so you can easily remember them. So we had division. The enemy loves to cause division. Doubt. The enemy wants to sow seeds of doubt in your heart about your faith, about whether God is powerful enough, whether God even exists. Debt. He wants to get us in debt and just make our lives a misery. Today, it's depression. Today, it's depression. And depression is one of those things that can hit any one of us. And depression is something that can actually wreck our lives. There are various reasons for depression. And I'm no expert, but I do know that there's various things that can affect your walk with God. And that if the devil can use depression to get you, he certainly will. And the Bible does talk about depression quite a lot. And various members of God's people throughout the ages suffered with depression. Sorry, can't see that very well. Gavin, could you turn that second light off? Thank you very much. Not that one. That one. Very good. David. King David. As well as being a great warrior, a great man. A great man after God's own heart. But he says in Psalm 38, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. He also says in Psalm 42, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. He knew what it was like to suffer depression. Elijah, remember Elijah when he did that wonderful, he was the one standing alone basically, and he on the Mount Carmel he slew he proved that God was real, he proved that God was faithful, he undermined the prophets of Baal. But at the end of it, he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He suffered depression after doing mighty work for God. Jonah, he suffered depression because God didn't carry out the things he wanted. He thought he was going to. He was made to look a little bit unreliable. Job. You may think about Job. All these people, Moses, Jeremiah, all these people suffered at some time or another with depression. So if you're suffering from depression, you're in good company. But here's the question. Have you ever suffered with it? Well, thing is, I never suffer with depression. Except I did once. And I've told you this one before, but I'll tell you again how it hit me. I celebrated my 50th birthday. Julie and others organised a lovely do here in church. Lots of people came along. This is a long time ago now, though. But anyway, immediately after my birthday, I got a letter through saying that my operation was now up and ready to go. So I had to go and have my hernia done. Yeah, it wasn't so much the rapture, it's more like the rupture. So I went up to hospital, had that done. So they stitched me up like a kipper. And that was okay, I had a bit of time off work. But then I went, because I'd been having a few problems, I went to the doctor. And he said that he wanted to examine my prostate. Now, anybody who's ever had that examination, gentlemen, it's not ladies, gentlemen, you know it's a real pain in the neck. And it brings tears to your eyes. But anyway, I had that. And he said, well, I'm going to get you in for a, I'm going to get you in for a biopsy. Because I'm a bit concerned. I thought, no. So I went for my biopsy, and that, believe you, gentlemen, that is even worse. It's a very unpleasant experience. So I was still recovering from my hernia, and I had this biopsy, and there's only one way to get into a biopsy on that part of the male anatomy. So then I was recovering from both of these procedures. And, well, I'd better tell you what the nurse said when I went for my biopsy. And I said, so, she said, all right, yes, you're in for a prostate biopsy. And I said, that's right. And I said, so if they find some cancer or something there, is, you know, what's, they'll well, take your prostate out. I said, so that would be okay then. That would be a recovery. She said, oh, no, she said. Oh, no, that's just the beginning of your troubles. Because you're going to be incontinent and impotent. You're going to be all sorts of things. He said, you men, you have it so easy through your life. You know, it's no, you have it. You just go through, sail through your life. Not a worry, not a care in the world. Not like us women. So, yeah, you can have a hard time ahead. Oh, yeah. I thought, well, thank you very much for those few encouraging words. And I went home after the procedure. It was very unpleasant. And I had to have time off because I was still recovering from the other procedure. And I started looking up on the internet. And, you know, I found out that my life expectancy was going to be pretty good, really. I could expect perhaps another 3 or 4 years of life after that. That's pretty good. And I began to be, because I was at home on my own, I began to get depressed. And it's not a nice feeling. Julie said, you're depressed. I said, am I? Because I just sat about and moped. And that's not usually what I do. I normally sit about. I don't normally mope. So I know a little bit about depression. And I know that some people suffer with depression far more than I do. Got depressed this morning because my tablet broke down, didn't it? So I'm having to use paper. You ever heard of that stuff? Anyway, you could be depressed by various extraneous things, guilt. Maybe the things in your life which you are ashamed of. And sometimes in our churches, evangelical churches, where we preach that there is no guilt, that God has released us from all that. We're into grace and we're forgiven. Every sin, past, present. Sometimes we do the old guilt trip thing on our fellow believers. Sometimes we're not very good at it, but sometimes we do. We could get depressed because we can't see any way out of the things that we're doing. It could just be simple exhaustion, a bit like Elijah was. I think he was exhausted. God sent him away and gave him a time of recovery, and he rested and he was fed and he was watered, and he said, I'm the only one left. And God said, no, you're not. There's plenty more where you came from. Perhaps it could just be exhaustion. Sometimes, you know, like anybody exhausted this morning, getting up, losing that hour's sleep. But sometimes we don't look after ourselves properly. Sometimes we don't go to bed at the right time. We don't get those 8 hours that we need. God has a way of working. You know, that's why he created the world. Seven days, 6 days you work, seven on the seventh, you take time off, you rest, you recover. and God's, you know, that order of things that God created will bring relief from possible depression. We can get depressed by being exhausted. Sometimes we can get a bit depressed because our diet's rubbish. If we're eating junk food and junk all the time and we're not balancing, we know all these things, you know. And in Scripture, you know, it isn't a science book, it isn't a dietitian's Bible or anything like that. It is just, but it does give you glimpses and hints about how you should live. And there's plenty of information about how we should live our lives. But sometimes life can get us down, our situation, our job, or lack of job. Sometimes these things that just living in the modern world where there's so much pressure, so much stress, can lead us to depression. And sometimes we're dragged one way and the other. Our family drags us one way, our work drags us another way, maybe church drags us a third way. And these are not good things, and they can lead to it. But it could also be a chemical imbalance in you. It could be something in you. That is why I have, to my shame, years ago, I used to be a member of a house group at this very church, and I started sounding off without, in total ignorance and in total stupidity, I started talking about how so many, you know, antidepressants are given out by doctors. They don't solve the problem, they just give the antidepressants and all this sort of stuff, being very, very foolish. And there was a guy in our house group who relied on antidepressants. And he listened to me, and he stopped taking them. And he was in a terrible state. He had to be taken into hospital and all sorts of things. Just my silly, flippant words caused him a lot of grief. And that's why I would never say now, if you suffer from depression and you should seek medical advice. You should ask your doctor. It could be psychological advice as well, not just, you know, general GP stuff. And if you're prescribed some medication, I'm not saying you shouldn't take it. You should take it. But I do believe that God is there as well through your depression. Let's pray that our medics have the wisdom and the strength and the right judgment not to just dish out pills, but to do it in the right way. And if your doctor asks you to take stuff, then it's a good idea to take it. Very good idea. Why did God put medical science in this world if we're supposed to just ignore it? I also believe that God can heal. So some things are just external to us, but some things, in some people, there's a chemical imbalance in us, and there is a predisposition to depression in that way. Now, you see, there's also personality. These are the four classic personalities. So come on, you can look. If you can see that, you might be able to get a bit closer. Which we're all perhaps a mixture. Personally, I think I'm probably more phlegmatic than anything else. Doesn't mean I've got a bad cold and I'm coughing up stuff all the time. And if you're choleric, doesn't mean you've got cholera or something like that. But these are the very ancient things. These are very odd. You know, they've been around for many years. I'm sure Naomi does this in her English teaching and that sort of thing. I certainly did it at A-level English. We use these things. But there are strengths and weaknesses. But we're a mixture. And these things don't have to dominate us. They don't have to rule our lives. Yes, you can. I'm going to take it off now. You're just getting too interested in that, aren't you? Come on then. All right, come on, let's go back. Who would say they were sanguine? Okay, probably can't read it, can you? Can anybody read that? No, okay. Right, well, sanguine, sociable, charismatic with a small c, possibly with a large one, outgoing, confident, warm-hearted, pleasant, lively, optimistic, a fun lover. Then there's phlegmatic, relaxed, quiet, calm, content with themselves, kind, consistent, and all that. Choleric, ambitious, passionate, leader-like, focused, efficient, practical, good at planning, melancholic, thoughtful, considerate, cautious, organized, an excessive planner, schedule-oriented. all these things. I'm sure we can get you a copy of that if you really want to see where you are. But you see, God says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. There are these sort of, we have natural temperaments, each of us, but we're individual, so we don't have, we're not in any particular bracket, but we have tendencies to certain sort of traits. And we could be just prone to getting down, prone to depression, prone to feeling things in that deep way. But it doesn't have to dominate us. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You see, Jesus went through all the things that we go through. Jesus went through depression. Look what Isaiah 53 says. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. In the King James Version, in the Authorized, I think it even gives it, perhaps even becomes a little bit clearer. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now that is just a small part of Jesus' character at a certain time. But nevertheless, I believe Jesus felt depression just as we feel these feelings. And the enemy wants to use this. The enemy wants to amplify it. If the enemy can keep a Christian depressed and down, that puts that Christian out of action. Jesus said in Mark 14, because we're on Palm Sunday now, you know, Jesus rode into the city and everybody, you know, pulled their palm leaves down and they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But not very long after that, Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So he knew what it was like and he knew what was coming. That he was going to be put through the most unbelievable torture and punishment. And he'd done nothing wrong. He was going to be forced on that back that had been torn open by the whipping and the scourging. He was going to have to carry a cross. In the end, he couldn't do it. His body was weak. He was depressed, as well as being overwhelmed with that grief. And on that hill, he was crucified, nailed to the cross, and God turned his back on his own son. So, I just want to put just a little video to watch, and then we're going to just sum up and I'll finish. But what I want to say is, sometimes we're not very good at helping people in their depression. You know, sometimes we say, pull yourself together, snap out of it, pull yourself up by your bootlaces, get on with it, get over it. But it's not that simple if you're in it. And I think we all need to be mindful and empathetic for those people who are going through periods of depression. All kinds of people go through that. Sometimes it's just occasional. Sometimes it's really deep. Sometimes it's regular. Medical help can help, but God can help through these sad times, these times of real despair. So let's just think of that as we listen and watch. God is greater than the pain. And it's a flippant thing to say, perhaps, but it is true. And God can reach down to you in your despair, in your in your depression, whatever state you're in, God can reach down to you and he can lift you up, because that is his, that's what he wants to do, that is what he does. I want us just to pray now and just bring these things to God. And I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you're feeling depression. I don't know if you do or not. But God knows. And the people who'd love to pray with you and help you, if you need that little bit of support. Obviously the best transactions are done between you and God, but sometimes you might want someone just to help and just to lend that hand and just to have to say that word or two. Let's just pray now. Heavenly Father, what we do know is that you are with us through every situation. And Lord, I know that Jesus understands how we feel. Whether we feel we can't do anything about the situation we're in, the despair, the despondency, the depression that we might be in. We don't see a way out. It debilitates us. It cuts us off. Father, I know that here there is healing, there is restoration. And Lord, you can do these miracles. You can achieve what seems impossible. And Lord, you use all kinds of means to do that. Father, I pray that for those of us who are downcast, depressed, that Lord, that you would just touch us now. Lord, that you would just reassure us that you're here with us. That you would just give us that special touch that only you can give. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to seek that help that we might need. Lord, we know you want the best for us. You want Christians who are standing up for you. And what the enemy wants is Christians who are weak and downcast and don't believe you and all sorts of things like that. That's what he wants. But Lord, we reject that in Jesus' name. Lord, we want you to work in our lives. We want your spirit to live through us, to lift us up, to give us that hope that comes through knowing you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.